This is Two Point Conversion with BYU Football, where the Cougars from the Gridiron share insights and testimony of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ.
Welcome back to another episode of Two Point Conversion. My name's Connor Pay. I'm one of the hosts. I'm here with my co-host, Chase Roberts.
What's up?
What's going on, man?
Just chilling.
Just back from Dallas.
Back from Dallas. Went to Media Days. That was a blast and hopefully said the right things and nothing's been posted or gotten blasted.
Is this your second one? You came with us last year.
I did,
right?
Go last year. Yeah, that's right. This was fun. It was in Texas, and they try to get those questions, you know, to twist your words and try
get
to
get your goat.
So they want something to just blow up right on their Twitter accounts and stuff. But I think we did a good job and represented the school well. Our culture, Kalani's amazing, and he kind of helped us through, I guess, the questions that we were going to get asked before, and it went well. So.
Oh, yeah. Kalani will take those media members behind the woodshed without them even realizing it.
Right.
You know, and but yeah, dude, long day, though. I remember that from last year.
Yeah.
Long day. Because what time you guys get up? We got up at like, if it was similar to last year, it was like 6 a.m. wake-up call.
Yeah. 7.
Get in your suit.
Yeah. Breakfast,
then it's just
head out.
Pictures and interviews till like 4 in the afternoon.
So we busted out some interviews to start off.
Ooh, nice.
Which was nice. So we got all those little ones that they come up and ask you questions, and we didn't have to wait after for them. So
that was Did you guys do the NCAA photo shoot again? Was that a thing or no?
We did not, actually.
Okay. You remember that?
I did, yeah.
Maybe that was just because.
Oh, no, we did. You're right.
Oh, you did do that this year?
We did do that. Yeah, okay. It wasn't as long, though. It wasn't as.
Probably because, like, we were launching the game last year.
Yes.
They wanted us to play it. Oh, yeah, we got to play it. I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
It was a big deal last year.
Yeah. Yeah, it was much more of like an event, the launching of the game last year than it was. But, I mean, it seems like it was a huge success. They're doing it for another year. Players are getting paid even more, a little bit of an uptick in the pay. So hopefully that means the game was successful.
That's just the story of your life, an uptick in the pay when you're gone.
I know. Every time Connor leaves, everyone gets paid.
So. I know. It's fine. Yeah. If you couldn't tell by his voice, our guest today is Bruce Mitchell, my heir apparent. So no, Bruce plays center for BYU and filled in for me those 4 games that I was out last year and did awesome. But yes, for any concerned viewer, Bruce is making a lot more money than I ever made at BYU. Revenue share passing this
year. I don't
know
if it's a lot.
So shout out to you guys. Shout out to you guys for getting what you deserve.
I did give Bruce a lot of shout outs at the media days.
So. I'll take it. Let's go.
I haven't looked at interviews. Like, I'm not a huge social media guy.
Yeah, no.
Let's go.
When I'm on social media, I'm watching fishing videos. So
there you go.
Maybe I need to look through.
That's the best.
That's true. I tagged Bruce in something on Twitter last year after filling in for me, and I just shouted him out on Twitter or something. And I go and look at his Twitter, and the profile picture is him from South Summit High School.
Yeah.
And his last tweet was from like 2018.
I haven't been on Twitter since I've been home from the mission. So.
Oh, man. That's so
been a while
awesome.
Now.
What was the last tweet? Was it a picture of you and a walleye? Or
it was probably me going on my mission.
Rainbow?
I actually
rainbow
have
trout?
No idea.
We got to find it now. I'm pulling it up.
So long since I've been
on Twitter.
It
took me forever to even find your Twitter, to even tag you in something.
It's awesome.
Just low key.
Bruce
I like to
Mitchell.
Go under the surface, not make too much noise.
Anyways, thanks for coming on the podcast,
it's
Bruce.
It's good to be here, man.
We appreciate you coming on.
No, I appreciate both of you.
Obviously, this thing, it's been pretty fun for me and Chase to get to do this, but and I know we're even like as teammates, we're together a lot, but it's probably more rare than it should be that we get to sit down and just have a gospel discussion, right? Because it's like that's just not, you know. In the locker room, you know, that just isn't really how it goes sometimes. And so it's cool to be able to just sit down with, we've had 10 or 15 guys from the team on the podcast now, and just to hear their insights about the scriptures and stuff, it's been really cool. So we appreciate you being willing.
Well, hopefully I can share something good. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, just for our listeners out there who don't know much about your history. I mean, obviously you've done really well at BYU and you're a lot more well-known now after playing so well last year.
Right.
But just tell us your story, man. Tell our listeners who Bruce Mitchell is and where he came from.
Okay, so I'm Bruce Mitchell. I was born and raised in Oakley, Utah. Not like everybody knows where that's at, so I guess I'd say like Camas, Utah, if you know where that one's at either. That's where my high school's at.
0-2. Where's Camas? I know.
It's
what's its closest to?
Park City Heber.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Heber, okay, okay. Yeah.
It's nice. Like
just on the other side. Oh, duh. You went to South Summit High School. I know where the high school is. Okay, I'm an idiot. Sorry, continue.
So that's where I was born and raised. Yeah, it's football's a lot different there than probably your guys' experiences. Like, I was 280 in high school, and I was just a giant compared to everybody else. Whereas, like, 280 was probably, like, I mean, the big average for a high schooler, yeah. But, like, every team had a bunch of guys like that. So it was a lot different for me. I got very lucky in getting offered to come here to play at BYU on the defensive line. But one of the catches, so when I met with Coach Tuiaki, he's like, we can have you come now, but you won't be on scholarship, or you can serve a mission and come home, and then you'll be on scholarship. So it was kind of obvious to me what decision to make. So serve my mission. I served in Seattle, Washington, 2019-21. Came home as like late July, so I didn't play my first season. I just worked out. I came home really light, too, weighed like 250. And they're like, yeah, just meet with Coach Tuiaki. He's like, you can't play nose at 250. Yeah. So spent that first fall putting the weight back on, getting back to it. And then, yeah, I feel like football's been pretty straightforward for me. I got really lucky with Coach Woods coming in. He's an awesome offensive line coach. And, you know, I met with Jay. He told me to switch to offense, and I did. And then I don't know if I want to call it luck from this season with some guys getting injured. That's probably not what you want. But I don't play this season without some injuries, and maybe that's not what you want to hear, as you were one of the injured guys.
It happened. Right? At this point, like, it happened. Everything happens for a reason, right? There was a reason that happened.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm sure you learned a lot. Maybe you've shared on the podcast, but I'm sure that was difficult for you. But it was good for me, not to say that I'm happy you got injured or anything. You know,
well, I think it was like, it's good for you in a sense, like, yeah. You were ready, right? The opportunity came and you took advantage of it.
Yeah, it was
awesome.
It was a lot of fun. And I played next to you. It wasn't just I filled in. I played right guard next to you in a couple of games. And
right.
Man, I'm excited for this upcoming season and should be good. But that's like my story really narrowed up. There's some cool experiences that maybe we can share as we go on. But, yeah.
Awesome. You're a married man, right?
I am. I'm married. Pretty cool. Yeah, she's the better athlete of the family, for those that don't know.
She's very true.
She ran here at BYU. She's an All-American, first team, national champion. She did distance, Sadie Sargent. Yeah, now she runs professionally for Nike. And
oh, yeah.
I know. She's got some big things coming up. USA trials are coming up. She's getting excited for that. But no, she's the better athlete of the family. If I get as good at football as she is at track, I'll retire when I'm 40.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. Every time when Bruce would come back into the locker room with some new piece of Nike gear on, we're like, ooh, wifey's taking care of him.
She is.
Sadie's taking care of him. So shout out to Sadie. Phenomenal athlete.
She's awesome.
An awesome person. But yeah, no, I mean, you did do a really good job filling in kind of a crappy circumstance, especially where, and I'm not saying this just because it's me I'm talking about, where I was very established and I controlled a lot.
Definitely.
Right. And so it was like to have all that suddenly pulled out and removed is kind of scary, but the way that you were just able to come in, and obviously you had support from the guys around you too,
from you. For those who don't know, I was meeting with Connor every day before and after practice. And he was coaching me up. He was making sure we were going to win those four games he wasn't in for.
I know. Maybe I should have just stayed out because I came back and we lost. But no, but you really did a good job, man. It was extremely impressive.
Thank you.
Like, and just because of your physical attributes, I think if you can just might get the mental part of center down, because right. it's so cerebral.
You got to think every position. Snap.
Yeah. With just some of the physical attributes you have that I didn't, like I think you could play in the NFL for a long time.
I got to get as smart position. As you though. That's we'll where get you got
there.
Me.
We'll get you there. Just, There you go. But no, thanks for that introduction. And you know, I do wonder, just to kind of stay on the topic, like I have wondered a lot, like, man, like of all, I had never been injured in my entire college career. 40 something starts going into this last season, never so much as missed a practice. Like, have some little things in the off season here or there, right, but like nothing serious. And you know, to just be randomly doing a zone block that I've done a million times in my career, and to just hear my foot just crack. Crazy. It's just like, what? You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense, right, in the moment. But I think having a lot of time to reflect, and obviously there was, you know, some pretty cool things that happened with the blessing after the game and some things like that. But I think you played a big reason in why that probably happened to me.
So coming onto this podcast, I was thinking, like, what was Connor's perspective from that? Because for me, like, dive a little bit deeper into my story. I wasn't like really sure where I was at with football going into the season. It was my third year. I was a redshirt sophomore, about to graduate. It's like, do I just hang it up? We'll see what happens. And then I ended up playing a really big role because of injuries. So it was really good, you know, from my perspective. And now I want to come back and play football. And I'm so grateful for that blessing and opportunity that came to me. But then it's like, I look at it, it's like, what did you learn from missing, you know, that part of your senior season? I was wondering that as we were coming on, like, I'm sure you learned something.
Yeah. I mean, and honestly, to tie it in with, you know, what we're going over today with DNC 77 through 80, you know, especially in 77, it's all about receiving revelation, right? And kind of that Q&A session that Joseph Smith has with the Lord about Revelations chapter 4 through 11. And so, I mean, I think I learned a lot about personal revelation during that window, because it was, and honestly, I don't know if a lot of it came from a good place. A lot of it was like me praying and to the Lord, why would this happen right now?
Right.
I'm playing the best football I've ever played in my career. Like everything had lined up. Like I was trying to put God first. We finally brought a coach in that was really helping me. Right, my NFL stock was rising. Right, I'm doing this podcast, like trying to share the gospel with the world. I felt like I was doing everything right. My grades were good. I was going to graduate. And it's like I felt like I was doing so many things the right way, and then all of a sudden, boom. I'm done. And at first we didn't know if my season was going to be over or not.
Right.
And so it's, and thankfully I had a Jones fracture on my other foot in high school. So I'd been through the recovery process before, and I knew that it was like pretty straightforward and I could get back pretty fast once we found out that it was a Jones. But no, I spent a lot of time on my knees, just like, just please help me understand. Right. And it's, I mean, and I feel like the farther removed I am from it, the more kind of line upon line I'm getting, like, oh, here's a reason, here's a reason, here's a reason.
It always works like that, doesn't it?
Right. And but one thing I feel like I really did learn was how much I love BYU, for one. Because, yes, was I pissed about my individual situation? For sure. But it did not at all overshadow my desire for the team to win. Mm-hmm. And that's why I came back right after that surgery. Thankfully, we had a bye week, so I could rest during that bye week. But then I came back on that Monday, and I was still making my charts, right, that I would give to you guys. And that's when we found out that, because we didn't know if it was going to be you or Sonny, right, for a little bit. But Sonny started battling some injuries too. And so once the second I found out it was you, I was like, okay, like I got to meet with Bruce, because I had been there before. It's a fire hose.
Right.
Right, that happened to me my freshman year when James Empey, ironically, got a Jones fracture against Washington State halfway through the year. And unfortunately, his was a few weeks after mine, and so he missed the rest of the season. But all of a sudden, mid-game, I'm playing center when I'd been playing right guard the whole year. Right, and so I knew what you were going through.
Right? It is a lot.
And so I was like, okay. And that's why, like, if any of you are at the games or watching, you'd see – instead of having five chairs with the O-line with Coach Woods, there were six. right? And I'd plop down right next to Bruce and be on the iPad going through stuff. But it's like, it was cool to kind of get that perspective a little bit of like, you know what? My individual situation's not ideal right now, but I care more about the team. And like, for that to actually happen and like you feel that, and it's like, oh, I look back and I'm like, oh, you know, it just, and it kind of makes you feel good about where your character is at, where it's like, I could have been, because we have had teammate, both of you have played with these people who teammates, leaders, captains even, who had injuries and we never saw them just again.
Disappear.
Never saw them again. And I did not want to be that. And so, you know, I felt like that's, I felt like I could cling to the more important things, right, than my own individual situation. I feel like that's a big thing that I learned in that situation. But that came gradually over time and a lot of angry prayers, right, leading up to it. But I think a huge reason why it happened is it's setting the stage for you to have a great back end of your career at BYU.
I appreciate that.
Because I think people don't understand how difficult it is to go from playing defensive line, switching to offense in spring ball, and then 7 months later you are starting at the Power Four level as the number one team in the Big 12 conference. Like, that is, in the O-line world, especially at the college level, that's like unheard of. I don't know what the receiver equivalent would be. Maybe switching from DB, I guess.
Yeah.
But, and then all of a sudden just playing a receiver.
Yeah, no, it's learning a whole new playbook, learning a whole new system, and trying to see the coverage and doing like all you can, the rushes, and it's hard to learn anything, like, especially at the high level that we play at.
So.
Pretty impressive.
It is. Props to you, man.
Thank you.
So, but no, that was a little bit of a long
answer. The thing is, you pointed out some of the main things that we're talking about today, and that's revelation and that's asking of God. And that's the most important thing. I think your life could be so different and miserable if you were to turn the other way. I think injuries especially, or let's say for other people, just hardships, trials in our life, whether it's losing a loved one, whether it's, you know, not getting a job, it could be something simple as that. We can go one way or we can go the other. And what did Connor do? He went in prayer. Some of them might have been angry prayers.
Yeah, they could
work on a little bit, but no, we all do it. But he went in prayer and he asked of God to help him and to know what to do and to receive revelation on why this happened. And I think that's a great way to go about trials, asking and receiving that revelation, knowing that it's something that you're reaching out to someone who you know and you have faith in.
Because I've gone the other way before.
Exactly.
We've done firesides and things where I've told that full story. Exactly. You're familiar with it. Just like the Deep Blue video, my grandpa and kind of losing my faith. I've flipped on its head before and gone the complete opposite direction. And that ended up being a horrible decision.
Right.
And so even though they were frustrated and angry prayers, I still wanted to pray. Right. And it's like the answer that I got, you know, through a lot of it was like, you'll understand later.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, but the immediate answer was like, help him. That was the answer. It's like, help him.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it so interesting that it takes trials sometimes for the Lord to be able to give us that revelation, even when we feel like we're doing everything right, you know? Like sometimes it just takes a little extra nudge to humble us so that the Lord can speak to us and that we can hear him.
Have you ever seen the video of Holland? He has like, he's in the middle and there's like a room around him. Have you seen those videos where he talks to him? And there was something that he said that I loved. He talked about how suffering is exalting. Something about suffering that is exalting and that we need. Something that we absolutely need in order to become like our Heavenly Father. And I love what Tanner Wall said in one of the podcasts. If life was fair, right, then everyone would die on a cross. Like the most perfect person in the world that ever walked on this earth was persecuted and probably had the most suffering out of anybody. Right. And that's what it takes to become the savior of the world. And we have to go through a lot of suffering, a lot of hard things in order to be exalted, in order to become like our Heavenly Father. And it's necessary.
Yeah. It goes back to Romans, right? Romans chapter 8. Mm-hmm. And I know I've shared this verse a ton because it's a verse that I live by. But it says, you know, it talks about our divine identity, right? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And then it says, if children, then heirs and joint heirs with Christ. So you read that and you're like, ooh, hey, like join heirs with Christ. I'm like, yeah, I want to.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's right. Pretty cool. And then there's a caveat. It says, if it so be that you suffer with him. Right? And it's like, that's the key. Right? And it's kind of the kind of crappy.
Sometimes.
Right? But it's there's a BYU devotional Elder Holland gave called The Bitter Cup and the Bloody Baptism. Mm-hmm. Right? And he talks about how the cup and the throne are inextricably linked. Right? But I think one of the key things too is like, yes, that's that suffering, that challenge is required. And we've talked a lot about how like physical challenge is required for our bodies to grow stronger and our brains to grow stronger. Like, why would it be any different spiritually? That's how we're wired. That's how God made us. Mm-hmm. Spiritual challenge is what refines and defines your faith, right? And but he doesn't want us to do it alone. Like, he wants us to be supported. And I think that's a lot of what Section 78 is about. Right? Or, you know, to establish a storehouse, you know, and use property and things that help push the church and its mission forward. Talking about how the church should be like independent and self-sustaining, where it's like, look, everyone knows, right, that tough things are going to happen, but God, through his church, is helping to build a support system for when those things do happen. Right.
Yeah, I love the story of the United Firm because it comes with a lot of suffering, and especially on Newell K. Whitney's part, as he decided to kind of live the law of consecration in a sense. When it came to building up this United Firm, he had to give most of his money up to something that eventually failed. And how hard would that be? Something that, you know, equivalent to us giving, pretty much all that we have and not getting anything, right? I guess not seeing it, you know, be accomplished. And but when we look back, no, it was accomplished, and he was able to do what he needed to do. And ultimately, it was the best thing probably for his life, right, to see and know that he gave his all and was able to devote his life to the Savior and to his Heavenly Father.
Right.
Well, now I'm curious, that when you bring that up, have there been times in your guys' life where, and maybe both sides, where you feel like you've given everything and received nothing, and how did you handle that? Mm-hmm. Or maybe even on the flip side, where you feel like you've given everything and done everything the right way, and you know, you did see the blessings that you were promised.
So I think something that really we can relate to is tithing, right? Paying our tithing. Obviously, we don't pay it on the severity. We give up 10%. These guys were giving up everything that they owned to the church. And we still live the law of consecration. But I remember, it's a funny story. So I was working construction with my father-in-law. And I just had got back from the business school when I applied here. So I got denied from finance, which I wasn't surprised by. I like got a C in econ. I was like, I was not surprised by that. And then I got waitlisted on business management. And I was like, frick. Like, I didn't know what was going to happen because I kind of put all my chips in one basket that I was going to get in to one of those two programs. Mm. And a C in econ isn't going to help with either one of those. And so me and my father-in-law were at this construction site, and it's like on the Park City ski resort, these houses up there. I don't know if you've ever seen them.
Yeah, yeah.
Clear up at the top, and he's doing a remodel up there. And we have a super heavy trailer coming behind, probably not a big enough truck. My father-in-law just looks at me, and he's like, I hope you paid your tithing this month. Because like, we were worried we were going to lose our brakes or the truck wasn't big enough to hold back this trailer. Long story short, we made it down the hill. But it made me, I went home, immediately paid my tithing. I hadn't paid it that month. And like, I mean, you know how it is sometimes in the summer. Like, I mean, you're not making tons of money, but you still got bills to pay and everything. And like, as soon as I paid my tithing to the Lord, I got an email that I was accepted to the business management program. So it was a really cool experience to me of not only tithing, but like giving to the Lord. Cause a quote, like I never want to be caught shorting the Lord, you know? And that's now come to me through experiences, whether that's in tithing or fulfilling my calling or Sunday duties. Like, I don't want to be the one who's caught shorting the Lord. Like, I always want to give the Lord my everything, however that looks. You know, obviously we live very busy schedules, but yeah, I think that was an experience to me of how giving the Lord our all or not shorting him, you can receive a blessing from.
That. I have this experience as well. Just this past summer, I ran a couple camps, a couple football camps in St. George, and had to kind of pay the facility, had to pay the coaches, do all the snacks and drinks, and it ended up costing a lot of money to run this camp. And I wasn't getting much, I guess, from the players. I didn't ask for much, just wanted some people there and to help these kids. And we did some spiritual stuff as well, which was amazing, and ran a little football camp. But if I was just in it for the money, it would have been a really unsuccessful camp. But just to see like the kids' faces and the experiences that they went through, and the texts that I got afterwards, and that we still keep in contact today, you know, with a lot of the kids, and just how they can't stop talking about the experience they had. And some of them, you know, I want to go on a mission now. You know, awesome. Some of them, I'm going back to church now. You know, my family's we've been inactive for a while, and this, you know, and now I decided to go back to church. You know, I felt the Spirit strong. It's just little things like that. It was the most successful camp that I could have imagined, mm-hmm. You know, and just a lot of blessings. And I'm sure Noel K. Whitney felt similar. And if he looked at just the financial side of his investment, right, it would have been a total disaster, a total fail. But I think he was happy with what he did and the effort right. that he put in and the amount that he gave to the United Firm, because it did help people in the mm-hmm. process as it was alive. And you just got to kind of change your mindset, I guess, to what matters most. And it definitely helps look in a celestial way and not just look at the temporal side of things.
I like that a lot, because that is kind of a modern day example, maybe not to the extreme mm-hmm. that these guys had it, of both of those examples are really just having your priorities in the right place. Mm-hmm. It always seems like when we do things for the right reasons, God finds a way to take care of us. It may not be immediate, but it'll come eventually. Right. And I just, if it's okay, I'll share a quick story from my mission. About, since both of you kind of went almost the finance direction, I have a tithing story from my mission. We were teaching this couple, and they were awesome. They were integrating really well into the ward. I was in Washington, D.C., so a lot of military there. And the husband, he was in the Army, but he was just infantry level, like not making a ton. And D.C. is an expensive place to live. And his wife worked a little bit, but she was pregnant with their first daughter. And, you know, they were doing okay, but like still, like it was, you know, we thin margins at the end of the month, right? And I remember when they were getting ready to be baptized, and obviously they knew, and we had taught them about tithing. But when we got down to like the nitty gritty, right, of it was coming up, and like, it was like, can you do this? Like, this is God's law of finance. Right. And I remember we were just literally crunching numbers with them, like on their monthly budget to see how things would work out. And there was just, no matter what way we cut it, we were short. every month. And they were like, oh man, like it was really hard for them. And so we asked them to pray about it and pray on what they should do for the next few days. And I remember we went back over a few nights later, and said, okay, what do you guys want to do? And they're like, we want to pay it.
That's awesome.
And we were like, okay. And so they ended up getting baptized. And, but that night or the very next day, we get a call from both of them, after they had said, we're going to pay our tithing. And he calls us and said, hey, I just got surprised at work and they gave me a raise. And he's like, it's not a big one, but they just want to, he's like, I've been doing well in the reserves that were, not in the reserves, in the infantry unit he was in. And, he's like, I got a raise. And we're like, oh great. How much? And he told us how much. And we literally did the math and it was to the dollar. It was a random, it was literally like a 230 something dollar raise, mm-hmm. like a random number. We did it, did the math with them over the phone.
I love stories like this.
And it was literally to the dollar what they needed to be able to pay their tithing.
And break it. That's awesome. And
to get right back to where their budget was before. And it's just like, my companion and I were just like, man, like it's so cool when God does that. Right? And it's... because I think that the verse in 78, verse 6, for if ye are not equal in earthly things, you cannot be equal in obtaining heavenly things. Right? It's like there are some things that we got to do here so that we can be rewarded up there. Mm-hmm. Right? And we may not understand them now, but it's cool, man. It's cool. God does cool things. Right? And they happen all the time in our lives. We just kind of have to have eyes to see.
You got
to
be able to see it. It happens every day. Just got to be able to see it.
No doubt. No doubt. Well, thank you for sharing that. Those experiences, I appreciate it. Just as we were going through that question, just kind of popped into my head. Well, maybe transitioning to 79. Real short section. Mm-hmm. Only four verses. All right. This guy, Jared Carter, is called to preach the gospel. Right, and not much I want to say on this one other than it's just cool in verse 2 when he says that I will send upon him the comforter which shall teach him the truth and the way whether he shall go. And inasmuch as he is faithful, I will crown him with sheaves. Wherefore, let your heart be glad, my servant Jared Carter, and fear not, saith the Lord, even Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's like we're all return missionaries, right? Like we've experienced this calling, and I think we've all experienced that promise too. But it's also awesome that this promise is extended. Not only, this is in the context of being called on a mission, right. But in our baptismal covenants, right? When maybe you can switch out that little verse, and in as much as he is faithful, it's like every time you take the sacrament every week. You know, now the comforter is sent to you in times of challenge. I know I really needed that.
Yeah, me too. I don't think I'd be able to make it through the day-to-day life without the Holy Ghost helping me.
Me neither. So this is the question I have for the two of you on this one. Are there times in your life that you can look back on now and say, oh, that's the time where I lived this and said, He sent me the comforter.
I think there's been many times throughout my life. I think thinking back on, you know, why I came back for another year of football to BYU, and I was planning on leaving for the draft, and felt that I needed to come back, and it took a lot of prayer and I guess personal revelation to know and feel confident that this was the right thing and the right, I guess, calling for me. And I felt that as, you know, I got injured and kind of got, it was kind of a no-brainer after that. And, you know, I need to come back and get healthy. And through all that, I felt through my prayers and understanding of, you know, I'm going to have the comforter with me through these hard times and through this, these decisions that I need to make. And I felt that a lot. And I felt guided like Jared Carter in things that I needed to do and accomplish. And a big thing was running those football camps.
Yeah.
That was some, I guess, personal revelation that I received and was able to receive a lot of comfort knowing that, you know, I have a plan for you, you know, even though injuries suck and, you know, I had surgery on my shoulder, that it's going to allow you time to prepare for this camp that I want you to run. And I felt that strongly. And then right as you get healthy, you're rolling into your senior year and, you know, I'll guide you from there. And just going, taking it, I guess, step by step and knowing that when I'm called, and whether it's called to preach in that sense and to preach the gospel at the football camps, that I'll be guided by the comforter, that he'll send him and help me gain that confidence that I need going into the season, knowing that I've followed the Spirit, and even though I've made a lot of mistakes along the way, that, you know, I'll be guided in every circumstance as long as I'm in tune and just striving to be better. Listen to that comforter.
That's awesome. So going into the Colorado game, were you going to the NFL?
It was still up in the air. I made a decision that I was leaning more towards staying.
Uh-huh.
But still, if I went off for a couple hundred yards and, you know, went up the draft boards, then it would have been.
But then you hurt your shoulder and you're like, I'm staying.
Hurt my shoulder and decided to come back.
Sometimes the Lord has to cut you down, I guess.
How you know? To build
yeah. me back up. Common theme.
Yeah, sometimes it's literally hard. Has yeah. to cut your leg out. Yeah. But
I think what about you, Bruce? An experience for me, so this is maybe a little more vulnerable than I was planning, but when I received the Holy Ghost was on my journey here at BYU. So what year was it? It was 2023, that spring. So we just finished that spring, and I was actually taking off a scholarship here at BYU. It was right before we were going into the Big 12. And so I was so angry, and I was going to leave. And my wife, she's so good, and my mom, they're like telling me, like, don't be mad. Like, stay, pray about it, try and figure it out. But I was like, I'm gone. Like, I'm leaving. And then finally my wife, she's like, let's go to the temple and just pray on it there. So we went that night. I think we did ceilings. Like, that's all we had available that night. And I created a cut-up of all my film from my freshman year, and I was just about to send it to all these coaches. I hadn't entered the portal yet, but I was about to send all this film to these coaches. I had it pulled up, ready to send, and, like, as soon as I was going to press send, I just had this feeling. And it was like, don't do that. Stay at BYU. And so I didn't send it. I stayed at BYU, and obviously it's starting to all come together for me, but I just remember in that moment, like I heard somebody say, like, do not send that, like, you need to stay here. So maybe that can give you some peace of mind, Connor. But no, that was a moment of just really frustration and anger for me when the Lord sent the comforter to guide me and help me make the right decision, which I feel very good about now. But even in the moment, like, it didn't make sense to me. It's taken a season and a half to understand why the Lord wanted me to stay, and that trusting him, it would all work out. But yeah, that's a moment in more recent years where the comforter was sent to me. And then obviously I think we could all go around the table and just share stories about our missions when, you know, I think that's just a crazy experience for 18-year-olds to go through.
It's the best.
I never left Oakley, Utah for more than a week, and all of a sudden I'm in Seattle. But no, just some really cool experiences of when the Lord has helped guide me, and he does that for everybody. Everybody, you know, he's open to guiding everybody, leading everybody, which is something I'm really grateful for. And like I said, I need the Holy Ghost on a day-to-day just to get by. Yeah.
Cool. Connor?
It's cool. Oh, you want to hear?
I want to hear. You can't get out of it. What do you
think? Well, I think almost there's two that come to mind, and I'll let you two pick which one you want to hear.
There's probably I probably heard both multiple times.
that's true.
On the podcast,
Chase and I do so many of those firesides and stuff like that. Well, you just have a few of those stories right. That just kind of become pillars. That like these really show what you're trying to get across, uh-huh. And so you end up sharing them a lot. So yeah, Chase has heard a lot. But I really felt it not only during the injury, but I already talked about that. But during the transition from 2023 to 2024, that was a big time. But then also kind of more recent with the way my NFL journey has gone and some opportunities, some doors that have been opened. So which one would you rather hear about?
I'll let Chase pick. Have you heard both of them?
Probably.
He hasn't heard this most recent
one. Let us hear the most recent one then.
Okay. So for me, my NFL journey has been very different than what I expected. And I mean, partially with missing four games in the middle of the year, right, that hurt, right? And so, like, not super surprising, but so kind of during the NFL draft, I'd interviewed with 10 or 12 teams. Mm-hmm. Things were good. My stock was still pretty high. Not like draftable high. There was a chance of me slipping into maybe 6 or 7, but free agent was kind of the route, right? And I knew that going in. But you guys will learn, the NFL is very circumstantial, because everyone is good. Right. Everyone is good. And so you kind of have to strike at the right time, get in the right situation. But I remember in the fourth round, just about, I had my agent – had let me know, like, hey, we've got multiple teams in here kind of in a bidding war for you. And they were talking about signing bonuses, mm-hmm. and all this other stuff and driving up guaranteed money and things like that. And I was like, okay, so I'm set. Even if I'm not drafted, I know I'll have a home, right? And only three centers had been drafted at that point. And we go the rest of the draft, no other centers taken. There's usually 8 to 10 per draft.
Wow.
There's only three this year. And so now all of a sudden the free agent market got flushed with centers who are ranked higher than me. And all those teams dropped off at the end of the draft. Boom, went cold. My agent's like, they went dark. The Raiders were one of them, and they ended up – it was between me and one other kid who are they going to give the contract to and who they were going to give the rookie minicamp invite to, and they ended up giving – the contract to this other kid. I mean, it was not a lot of money. So like, it wasn't that big of a deal, but it was a spot on the training camp roster. So right. In that sense, it was a big deal. And so I ended up getting the mini camp invites, and then Seattle didn't think that I was going to be available. And all of a sudden they found out that I was. And so they called me. They're like, hey, we like him. Can he come to rookie mini camp? And I was like, sure. So that was like on a Wednesday. I was on a plane the next day to Seattle to go play for the Seahawks. And so went to Seattle, and I was a late ad just because they weren't expecting me, so I didn't get very many reps. Like, it wasn't, and I kind of left after that, and I was like, you know, like, that was a good experience, but it's like, I don't know if this is the place. And again, you guys will learn also when you get to the NFL how little the position coaches and coordinators have to do with the roster. Their job's to coach the roster, not build it.
It's the GM.
It's the front office. Yeah. It's the GM in the front office. So I was like, I don't know if the coaches said good, we thought you did well and all that stuff, but it's like you kind of catch the vibes. That, like, mm-hmm. It wasn't that big of a deal. And but their front office called my agent and was like, hey, we really liked him. Like, we don't have a spot for him right now, but he's on our callback list. And so it's like, oh, that's kind of surprising. Like, Vegas, complete opposite experience. I go there. I'm doing really well. I get moved up groups the next day. I'm playing in front of guys who have already signed and stuff. I'm mm-hmm. doing really well. And the coach was really happy. Chip Kelly was the offensive coordinator, who I've known him since my high school recruiting. He recruited my brother, knows our family. He was happy. He's like, hey, I thought you did really well. Their front office did not care for me. And they're like, hey, we thought he did okay. We're not that interested. And so it's kind of like, okay, now all of a sudden I'm not at OTAs. when it's like that was my plan all right. along. I didn't see a world where I wasn't in OTAs somewhere. Like it came as a surprise to my agent, to me, and all this other stuff. And so all of a sudden it's kind of like, well, what am I going to do now? Right. And so it was challenging at first, right? Like this has been my dream. And it's like, yeah, I got to live it for a few weeks playing for two different teams.
Right.
All right. But it's like, no, I want to be in a training camp. Like I want to be able to give it to my best shot. And that's definitely like still in the cards. Right. But it's just a different path than I was expecting. And so I was praying a lot during that window just because I was like, hey, like this is kind of the plan. Like I'm not 100% sure what to do right now. Cause it's like, yes, I could just, I knew I was going to keep training cause you know, there's the training camp window and tons of transactions happen. There's ways to get in. But I was like, well, what else am I going to do? It's like training is only a few hours a day. It's like, I don't want to just sit around. Right. And I remember sitting in Kalani's office, in like April or no, this was end of May after the mini camps. And I was talking to him about all of this. And that's when he floated out the idea. He's like, you're here training every day, right? And I was like, yeah. He's like, why don't you coach? And I was like, okay, never really thought about doing that.
You're already here.
Yeah, he's like, you're here anyways. He's right. Like, just come do it on a volunteer basis for now. It's like, no commitment, right? He's like, just come and help. And then he called Coach Woods, and obviously Coach Woods has joked about me coming to help him for a long time and stuff, but he just never thought I'd actually do it. And I remember praying about that and just feeling overwhelming peace about doing that. I was like, okay, I have a little direction now. Train, coach. And really, it's nice because Coach Woods has kind of just given me the centers.
Right.
Right, where he's just like, hey, just help the centers. That's what you know. Like, help them learn how to command the huddle and command on the line of scrimmage and things like that. And so it's like, that's been easy. It's what I already know how to do. But the bigger picture now, I'm learning is there was also some stuff. I'd been involved in BYU Pathway in the past, and we have the Pathway meetings as a team.
Every Wednesday.
Helping those students. But I'd been a part of the mentorship program for them. I don't know. I can't remember if you had done it too, Chase. Yep. Yeah, yeah. Just getting connected with Pathway students all over the world, specifically West Africa for me, because I taught a ton of West Africans on my mission and love those people and know a little bit about their culture. And so I've been doing some stuff with Pathway, and I was like, oh, this is cool. And then Kalani is actually doing some foundation stuff to help support these Pathway students. And he asked me to be involved in that and help to build it. And I was like, oh man, like that is unreal. Like what he's trying to do is unreal, to support these students all over the world and to support the BYU Pathway program. And now that's kind of monopolized my time a little bit. Bruce can tell you I've been around a little less the last month or so. And it'll be nice once fall camp starts. I'll have a set schedule right. And I'm here all the time, but just going out and trying to help people see how they can help Pathway students.
It's awesome.
Right. And so if there's a ton of services and things that we provide. So if any listeners want to help us do some job outsourcing or come help support us and doing that. But it's like I've become very passionate about that and I'm having so much fun. And it's like, yes, is football still the number one priority? Yes. I still train every day. I'm still locked in. But then in my other hours, I'm able to work on this and I'm able to help coach ball. And I'm just thinking to myself, because it's like, if this goes the way we're hoping, like this could be a career for me after football.
And it's been nice to have you here for the podcast too.
Just yeah. Yeah. Yes. I'm grateful to be here in studio. But it's like, I think about that and it's like that if, who knows, like there's a decent chance if I don't do the coaching thing, it could go either way. But it's like if I don't do the coaching thing and I end up going to do this full time, helping these Pathway students, which is something I love, that opportunity would have never come if I was at OTAs.
Right.
I wouldn't have been sitting in Kalani's office. that day, having that conversation. And I will grant, apparently he has been thinking about me for this for a long time. He just wanted to know the right time to bring it up, because we were in season last year when he was thinking about starting it and all this stuff, and I couldn't do it then. So he maybe would have brought it up to me later, but it's just the way things have worked out. And just the amount of peace and just like the amount of passion, right? It's like, I know that's a gift from God, right? Like that's been the Holy Ghost being side by side with me. Like, just be patient. I know this isn't the route you thought, but it's the route you need to take, right? And so I think for me, that's one recently that's kind of every day I see a little bit more into why, you know, a lot of those decisions were made.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all connected, all going back to deciding, same thing with you, Chase, for me, deciding to come back for my senior year
mm-hmm.
when I was planning on leaving, that kind of stuff. Like, it's all connected at this point. And I can kind of just look back and see, like, man, when I've been trying to live my life the right way, even though I'm not perfect, like, I'm trying. It's like, man, I can look back now and be like, God has just been guiding my steps. Nudging me here, nudging me right there, similar to the experience both of you have shared. And so, I don't know. I think recently, I think that's my answer to that question right now. And it's the cool thing is it changes every day, right? But I don't know. Is that what you were looking for?
No, exactly. It's powerful. It's something that people go through every day, or they go through in their life, you know, at least once. Just waiting on the Lord, I guess, is the topic that I saw. You know, sometimes, most of the time, it doesn't go the way we want. But in retrospect, we always can see why.
Yeah.
And it's just trusting in the Lord and understanding that He is the ultimate, you know, Father. And He is all-powerful. He's the leader. You know, we need to trust Him. It's not about us. It's not our plan. It's His plan. And just to kind of wrap up, I have a strong testimony of that, and a strong testimony that He is in our everyday lives. He knows what we struggle with and what we want and desire. And He is perfect in a sense that He knows what we need. Even though it's not aligned a lot with sometimes what we desire and what we want, He knows what we want, or He will give us what we need, mm-hmm. I guess, in a sense. And I love Him, and I'm grateful that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to the earth so that I can learn from my mistakes and grow and become better and rely on Him and strive to be like Him, love those around me. And He's been, you know, a part of my everyday life, and I'm grateful for that. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
My turn to share?
Your turn.
We're going to go for it.
End with our testimonies.
Or yeah, I can share. Would you rather close, or what do you want to do?
I'm ready to go.
Okay. Well, you got locked
first
loaded.
First time on here, yeah. No, thanks for sharing, Chase.
Yeah.
To add to you, you know, I know the Lord lives. I love Him. I'm grateful for Him. I'm grateful for the Spirit. It's been awesome to hear your guys' stories today. Like, I see you every day. My locker's 3 feet from yours, Chase's, yeah. And, like, I didn't know these things about you.
Yeah.
But I do know I love the Lord, and He is guiding us. Sometimes I think to myself, like, when's He going to add the next dot to my life? Like, and just see how it's all connected, and it's because of Him. I love this gospel because it's all about changing to become more like Jesus Christ, and something I try to do. I got a long ways to go. And I love God, and I love the prophet Joseph Smith. We didn't get to dive too much into it, but man, he's my hero, the sacrifices he went through to translate the Book of Mormon. I love Joseph Smith, and I know he is a prophet of God. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you guys for sharing. I really appreciate it. And I guess I can just add my testimony to it that, you know, even though we didn't dive into specific verses and things as much as maybe we usually do, but we felt like personal revelation and the guidance of the Holy Ghost was kind of central themes to 77 through 80. And that's why I wanted to share some experiences of that happening in our lives. And I'm really grateful for what you two have shared. Just same as you, Bruce. It's like we've all been with each other for years now in the locker room, but you don't always get to hear these stories. And it's special. And I am also looking forward to the next dot that, you know, God places on my life map, right? Am I hoping it's with an NFL team in August? Like, yes, that's the hope. I'm now in the position you were in, Bruce, where I need someone to break their foot so I can get my foot in the door,
Need a retirement.
But no, it is. I feel like every day when I have eyes to see, right, when I'm looking for it, I can start to see all the little movements. All the little twists and turns that my life has taken that felt really aggressive in the moment. But when I look back, it's like, oh, it's laying out this cool path for my life. And I could talk about that all day, but I'm really grateful that the Lord cares enough about me to guide my life that way. Right? That because He is my personal Savior, that He cares enough to do that for me, and I'll forever be grateful for that. And I guess maybe a challenge the three of us would leave to anybody listening is just do what you can to go and find those little dots on your life roadmap where the Lord has guided you, because they're there. I promise they're there. And maybe the ones you can't quite see yet, it's just because you don't have quite enough information, right? But like with time, you'll be able to see like, oh, that's why that happened, and that's why this happened, and that's why this happened. And I promise you that you'll be able to see how the Lord is guiding your life. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Well, thank you for coming on, Bruce.
No, it was good.
Really
be here.
Grateful. Really grateful for you. In a lot of ways. Thanks for saving my butt last year for one. And just thankful, I'm grateful and thankful for the person that you are.
Thank you. So grateful for you too, Connor.
Great friend. And Chase, I don't know, you're just here.
Chase is all right. <isn't
he? laughs> No, I'm just kidding. Thanks for doing this with me,
no,
as always.
Of course. It's been a blast.
It's been awesome. And thank you all for listening. We really appreciate you all taking the time. And you can find us anywhere that you get your podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, if you want to see our beautiful faces. Maybe not me and Bruce as O-linemen, but if you want
to
see Chase,
you
can go. You can go watch on YouTube. But thank you all for listening. We really hope that you enjoy studying section 77 through 80 this week, and we'll look forward to chatting with you all again next week here on 2 Point Conversion.
2 Point Conversion is a production of BYU Radio.